Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. Pure Sex Radio is produced by Be Broken Ministries. Be Broken's mission is to help men, women, and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, Stephen brings some wisdom to us from a man who's been on a journey of sexual wholeness for a while. What can we learn from an older saint in the faith? What's the value of pursuing faithfulness and continuing to fight for purity and holiness over a lifetime? Our hope by sharing these nuggets of wisdom is that you might be inspired to keep going on your own pursuit of sexual wholeness and recognize that what you learn along the way will have value to others on a similar journey. For resources to help you take your next best step, visit BeBroken.com or check out links in today's show notes. And please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now, let's dive into today's conversation. All right, Stephen Cervantes, here
yes,
we are
sir.
Again.
Class is in session.
Yes, back on the Pure Sex Radio program here today. Excited to have you listeners with us.
Where people get smarter, live longer, enjoy life better here on the Pure Sex Radio program.
Wow, is that a new tagline or something? I'm kind of excited about this discussion today because you've got some notes here for us from an older gentleman mm-hmm. who is kind of on a sexual wholeness journey. Mm-hmm. And you said there were just some kind of neat insights that he had to share.
Yes.
And I think there's, you know, just as a little sidebar before we even get started, I have this kind of little side mission
yeah.
that I'm on
okay.
in the American culture, especially in the American Christian culture.
Okay.
And that is recognizing and trying to draw people in to relationships with older saints.
Hmm.
I think we discard our elderly so quickly in this culture because we worship youth that we are losing so much of a treasure of wisdom and experience. And so
that's me. People.
Yeah.
That's me, folks.
So I'm excited about this because I'm like, what can we learn from this older saint as he's on this journey?
Yes.
And so I'm hoping there's going to be a lot of good insights for our listeners today.
So this guy struggled all his life. I asked him permission to tell some of the story. He said, yes, if it'll bless anybody. We never use a name. But I feel like God uses each of us to bless each of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, he said, I've crossed a point in my life. It just happened in the last few weeks. I've been battled sexual integrity all my life, but I crossed over. And this is funny, but I want to be clean again.
Mm.
I want to be clean again. And we started unpacking that. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, I have a deep desire to be clean, but I don't have a template. I haven't practiced clean. I don't really know how to live clean. Clean has not been my goal. So I don't have a template for clean. But I started paying attention to myself. I'm trying to learn me better. I live with me. Why do I torment me? Why do I do dumb things?
Hmm.
I really want to feel better about myself. But I'm divided. I'm a Christian. And I say this, but then I do that.
Hmm. Yeah, I especially like the idea of him recognizing there's a disconnect between what he says and what he does. Because I don't know about you, Stephen, but in dealing a lot with Christian men, that's one of the most common disconnects that I see, is they have a set of beliefs that they say, but their actions do not line up with those beliefs. And so there's kind of this distance between, you know, we talk about head and heart kind of thing, right? But there's this distance between what they say they believe or who they say they are, and yet their actions are over here contradicting that.
Right. And so, that's all of us, right?
When there's some level of divide that we all struggle with.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, there's a big sexual divide that's obvious. And then we're cleaning up the rest of our lives. Sometimes I'm selfish. angry, I'm controlling, I'm worrying, whatever. God's always cleaning up something in me. Mm-hmm. But this is the big divide that we know that men get into when they break their sexuality and their Christianity in half.
I also think it's interesting how he talks about, I have no template to be clean, you know.
Isn't that a great idea? Think about it. You have to have a practice and a skill set and insight and awareness and boundaries and language. You have to know clean and desire it and speak it and think it and practice and pray it. Mm-hmm. But he's got no template. So he said, when I was young, I decided I wanted to be a very sexual person. Now I'm old and I'm tired. But if I go back far enough, even before what I just said about being sexual, there was a very young part of myself. And this was my very first belief about sexuality. I'm going to have sex on my wedding day and not before. That's the old young me. If I could go back to the cleanest part of me, who had the simple desire to follow God, do what's right, rein in my sexuality, versus the growing up teenage part of me that says, well, let's go sexually crazy. He said, I want to find my younger self again, because I want to finish better with his thinking than the teenage crazy boy that said, let's go for this.
Well, you know what I'm hearing in this is a word that I wrote down here is he's longing for innocence. Mm. You know, he puts it in language like, I desire to be clean. And I think on one level, we can understand that. Yeah, you know what? I don't want to be doing these things that I've been doing that have been, you know, marring the image of God in me and all these kinds of things. But then when he talks about, I want to go back to young me. I want to go back to innocent.
Yes.
Me. Like before I started adopting and grabbing on to all this stuff that's been, you know, dirtying me up over the years. And I love that. I think there's something, I think there's a need for us on a regular basis to try to desire to be recalibrated in that way. Of like, maybe it's even something that could be part of a daily practice of God.
Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Give me that sense of innocent little boy. I want to be, I want to have a sense of wonder in my life and curiosity.
Yes.
And I want to be like Adam in the garden before there was a knowledge of evil.
Yes. That's like, beautiful.
You know, before they ate from the fruit, they only had knowledge of good.
Mm.
That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we were never meant to know evil. And so there's a sense in like, take me back to the garden. I want to be in a sense, in a state where my mind won't even be able to go to places of evil. And it's a beautiful thing.
That's a beautiful thought you think about. So he said, I don't have a path. I have a worn out, torn up, gorging path of self-pleasure. But I need a new path, like you said, a new template, right? I need a new path. And it has to be one where I recover my innocence. I was once innocent. I started innocent. And then I sold myself out. And my young teenage self started bonding to women. And I learned to bond to women well. But I did not hold my innocence and bond to my God well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think this is, again, going back to the dividedness, right? We learn to bond in a particular way that is not necessarily the way in which God had designed us to bond to other people. And then sometimes through that path, we are moving further and further away from having any kind of real connection with God, which is one reason why then we actually struggle to have healthy relationships with other people.
Right.
Because I think it's from our sense of security and bondedness and closeness and intimacy with God that I think we then know how to actually have healthy, deep relationships with other people. So if we get that flipped out of order and say, hey, listen, I basically just learned how to bond with bodies. I learned how to bond with women through my physical lusts. well, then I'm not cultivating an intimate relationship with God. So then it's kind of all, it's all flipped on its head. It's all upside down and backwards.
That's good. So he says, Father, am I enough? I don't feel like I'm enough. Am I enough, Father? Because I want to be enough. And it's such an innocent thought that I'm enough for my God. It's very simple that I'm enough, that I could be innocent and little and free and light, and that would be enough, that innocence is a good goal for my God, and that's enough, because what I've done is I've lied all my life. And today, I admit there can be no more lying. To me, to God, to others, I cannot live the lie anymore.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I love this because there's an awakening that's happening. You know, he admitted before about the dividedness, his disconnection from God. And then I think it's so important that we finally get to that point where we realize there's deception that's part of this. I've been lying to myself. I've been trying to lie to God, which we can't. Nobody can lie to God. Mm-hmm. And certainly I've been lying to other people in my life. Mm. And in some ways, then we have to admit I'm living a lie because of the dividedness.
Right.
And, you know, it's that whole idea of I project one thing to other people when actually on the inside I'm something completely different. Like you said earlier, I say this, but I do that.
Oh, right? Yeah. So I have fooled others, and I even fooled myself. I escape, and I escape well, and I pursue pleasure, and I pleasure myself well. I've played being stupid and not pretending that this wasn't, that I had it under control, it wasn't getting worse. And now as I look back through the years, and the summary is, I have gotten worse. Before, I did not care to be good. But today, I just want to be good.
Yeah, you know, two things that I see here. One is, you know, earlier we were talking about innocence. And I really do believe that it's out of innocence that we can actually truly become wise, because the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, what does it take? It takes us humbling ourselves before God. But what I'm hearing here is when he says, I played stupid, I'm saying, you know what? The biblical word for that is a fool.
Mm.
You know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool is, you know, there's a laziness, there's a insatiable appetite, you know, to a fool that continues to try to, you know, Proverbs 6-8 really talks all about the wayward woman and how, you know, the young fool is chasing after that. And so it's natural that then he would conclude, I didn't really care to be good, because that's the path of the fool. The fool is never going towards what's right and good.
Right.
The fool is always blazing a path towards what is unwise and unhealthy.
So he continued, I sought pleasure, but today I'm changing. I didn't used to care, but today I'm starting to care about me and my life and what I've done, looking back and what's ahead. In the past, I wanted new. I wanted more. I wanted different. But as I sit here quietly, what I really want is God.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that strikes me here, and this is something that I think we've got to talk about more in our culture that is so consumed with novelty. You know, what's the next new thing? What is the next bright thing? What's the next shiny thing? What's the next thing that's going to give you pleasure and satisfaction? And what I see here is that whole idea of new, more different,
right.
It is a path of absolute exhaustion.
Yeah,
there's no peace. There's no rest. And what I love about what he's saying is he says, today I want God, period.
Mm.
And think about it. Can you ever actually have anything more if all you have is God?
Mm.
He's the creator of all things. He's infinite in his love and in his, you know, character. And so there's a sense in which there's a simplicity that he now has.
Oh, yes.
But his simplicity is connected to the source of all contentment that you could ever have. I mean, can God satisfy you intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, even physically? I mean, think about all the wonderful food that he's given to us on this planet and all the, can he satisfy you in your sleep? I mean, I love this because I think so many times we don't realize how much we are being deceived in our culture by real satisfaction comes through new, more different.
That's right.
And he's finally, here's an old saint, right? That's saying, you know what? I've lived a long time and I'm realizing that the new, more different path sucks. It doesn't really, it doesn't lead to where I thought it would lead. And now I'm realizing all I really want is God. And that simple focus can bring a whole new kind of contentment and joy to my life that I didn't have before.
He said, I want a do-over. I want a do-over. I want to do my life over. I want to pick good and goodness and God and godliness. When you lose your innocence, you can never get it back. I lost mine. And I don't know how to go back.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I understand the sentiment of what he's saying in terms of when you lose your innocence, you can never get it back. But I also believe in the power and the truth of the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
And that is that we're told that if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Yes. We're told that we have been clothed in the righteous robes of Christ. Mm-hmm. We've been told that though our sins were as, red as scarlet, they've been made white as snow. I mean, just the idea that there is something to the power of God being able to transform us back into a state of innocence spiritually, that's the good news. And one of the ways that I put it is when I tell my story sometimes, I talk about the difference between the change in behavior and the change in desire. I had an expectation and a hope at the beginning of my recovery that God could change my behaviors because I thought God's powerful. But you know what? I never knew that he could go to the level of actually changing my desires. Like, I never thought that there could be a point in my life where I didn't want to sin in those ways. Like he could make me actually have new desires, like new passions.
Yes.
And so I want to, encourage our listeners and also encourage this guy here that, I get what you're saying in the sense that, hey, once that line has been crossed, you can't uncross it. In other words, you can't undo the things that you've done in your past.
Right.
But God can transform your soul, can transform your spirit and your mind. And that's good news.
That's good. And I think that's our... We're going to say that again at the close here because he's saying, I don't have a template. I don't know how to go back. I can't find my way back. Can you even go back? I don't think you can go back. So originally, I did not fight for true innocence. Rather, I picked an experiment to experiment with my sexuality and see where it would lead me. I see now I made a poor choice. I have damaged my own soul.
Mm-hmm.
Comment or
go
pass?
Ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Every line you cross, he said, makes you worse. You sin more. You swim more and more in a sea of sinful pleasure. And don't lie to yourself. There are consequences for sinful actions. I'm going to say the last part. You say something.
Go ahead, yeah.
Read on?
I was just going to say, I mean, I guess I could say something on that. I mean, I think we all understand the idea that there's consequences for actions, but I think some of the ways that our sin deceives us is listen, we understand there's consequences for actions, but that won't happen to you.
All right. It's not going to happen to me.
Somebody else will have a negative consequence. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is going to lose their marriage. Somebody else is going to get a disease. Somebody else is going to, die from this. Right. And it's like, we don't think that those consequences, that's a deception of sin, is thinking that I can keep crossing this line and it won't ever actually impact me. That happens to other people,
Right. That's the right, wrong thinking.
Right.
That got him here. So how do I roll back my life? How do I take 25 years of sinful pleasure off my back?
Mm-hmm.
Living a good life does not carry these consequences. What have I done to my mind and my soul? I want to reclaim my innocence. I want to do good for God for the next 25 years. Right? Because I've been doing bad for 25 years.
Right, yeah.
How about I shift and I do 25 good years for God? And ultimately, I want people to see God in me.
Mm-hmm.
Not me carry a secret sexual life that nobody sees and there is no God, but that you see that God transformed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy with that.
So when he says, you know, living a good life does not carry these consequences, you know, one of the things that I think is really profound about the transformation that God wants to do in our lives is that when we start walking in the way that he's designed us, in many ways, then it actually doesn't matter what our circumstances are. So I don't believe this guy is saying, because it would be incorrect, that, you know, hey, listen, if you live a good life, in other words, if you live a life according to the way God's designed you, you won't have any problems,
right,
or you won't have any challenges. You won't have any heartache. Mm-hmm. I think what is being said here is, you know what, the heaviness on the soul, the lack of contentment, the lack of peace is what comes from all of that I've been doing. When I start aligning my life with God, when I say, all I want is God, when I get that singular focus and I really start pursuing him, then if the job goes away, if a relationship falls apart, if a loved one dies, if I come down with an illness, like my soul is still intact. My soul is still at peace. Yes. My soul can still be content because I want God. And with him, I can, like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was in the context of a contentment passage of saying, hey, I know what it is to have a lot. I know what it is to have nothing. I know what it is to be, you know, suffering. I know what it is to be fine. And he's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's good. So I would say this is a beautiful story of a guy that's waking up and saying, I have time left. I want to use the rest of my years wisely and have strength and mind and body and resources. But I'm going to have to get a new map. The map I set out on didn't get me where I really want to go. And I'm awake now and engaged now, and I need a new map. And it is the map of innocence in pursuit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God can give you back the years the locust ate. He, from this day forward, he can restore you. And you can walk in innocence one day at a time. And I do think we have to protect our innocence. We live in a difficult time, difficult culture. And so, but I think he's got it right. I want to go back to the kid that said, I want to protect my sexuality. I want to honor God. I want to live clean.
Yeah, innocence, right? Go back to innocence.
And I want to carry innocence into my old age.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do. And when people see me, he's a simple man who lives clean and innocent, who loves his God. I can even see God in him.
Yeah.
That's the new template.
Now, speaking of templates and maps, what's up with, would the emotional map be helpful in this?
Yeah, that's coming.
Okay.
Well, let's do an episode on that.
You could at least tease it here, right?
No, the first copy just got printed yesterday.
Okay.
Well, we're proofing it now. It looks good.
Okay. Well, you tell the listeners about it, because this is going to, by the time this releases, I mean, you probably have it ready to go.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's good.
You've got this
I'm going to see a copy tomorrow.
Right? Yeah.
I'm going to see a copy tomorrow. Okay. God, we have another resource. Stand by. It's a tease.
Yeah, well, I mean, give them a little bit more than that. Like, no. you've created this emotional mapping system, right?
Yes, to help map yourself out, to see how you're divided. And it really is a callback to innocence. Ultimately, we're designed for innocence. We have to protect our innocence. We play roles, and we have pain, and we do goofy things, and we try to solve problems with our sexuality. But I love this idea that we're made for innocence. Mm-hmm. And if we protect it, man, we can enjoy the heck out of this planet and each other and our sexuality.
Yeah.
But it has to be done from a mindset of innocence.
And so if the resource is ready to go when this airs, we will put that link in the show notes for you guys to be able to get a copy of that. Otherwise, we'll probably do a later broadcast. We actually are, just so you know, another tease is, and this puts us on the hook too, is we plan at some point to also do kind of another webinar series, like a training series that would go through the map. And so be on the lookout for that in the future as well. But I want to encourage all of you as our listeners and viewers, lean in to older saints. Lean into some people in your life that they've been walking. None of us walk this journey perfectly, but they've been stumbling in the right direction. And lean into those saints because they've got wisdom, they've got experience, they've got sometimes the very things that you need in order to take your next step of healing, of growth. And so I encourage you to find some older saints in your life to really rub shoulders with. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that he who walks with the wise grows wise.
Oh, that's good.
And so we need to be and you don't get wisdom instantly. Wisdom is something that happens over time. And so find some old saints to walk alongside. We're grateful that you've been with us, everybody. Yes. And we look forward to having you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. So take care.
God bless. Thank you.